Do you like poems like that?
Yes.
I do too. Thank you, brother. But my perspective is poems like that make me feel fuzzy. Real life doesn't, usually, the hard parts. Know what I mean? I like poems like that. They inspire me and they help me get on my knees, though, and face life that doesn't feel like the fuzzy poem. Say, all right, Lord, I'm going forward anyway. Right? My prayer is that I can be a little bump along the way in one or two aspects to you all and say, keep going. Bump, you know, bump, that's all. So, it was suggested to me yesterday, maybe I sometimes spend too long at the beginning saying all my thoughts and feelings, so maybe we should jump right in. But I really do love you all and pray for you all. I'm going to try to accomplish today what we could spend a whole week on, and I'm going to try to smash it all in today. For a title, I'm going to try to combine the ones you see, suggestions for Bible reading and suggestions for Bible study. Don't expect to get through it all. That's some of why I gave you this book. But we're going to try to race through it. Just to clarify, 9:45. Thank you. I'm going to try to race through it, and I hope if I can at least do one thing is whet your appetite a little bit. And I know your appetite is wet, but I'm going to try to stimulate it, okay? And make it just a little bit more hungry and excited about what you can do. And so putting these together, I think my title for today is actually Suggestions for the Word. Capital the, capital W on the word, so that you know what it is. But I'm combining the ones in here. I'm going to try. We'll see how far we get. But young people, do you ever have fuzzy feelings about this? The word? You have some fuzzy feelings? I just talked about fuzzy feelings with that poem. Fuzzy feelings aren't the real life that we need to keep on keeping on when we're dog-tired, discouraged, disillusioned, you know. That's faith. But I think it's healthy that when we see this, if we pick it up in the morning, that we say, yes, this is God for me, for my life, for my future, for what He wants from me. He's molding and making and chipping and all that was said more poetically than I can. That's what He's doing. And one of His major ways He uses to guide us is right here. It's so easy. We talk about the Word. We preach the Word. We look into the Word. We all that with this. And it's so easy to, it can get kind of normal. I know that. It can get kind of regular, you know, just the norm. But if I could help inspire you and encourage you, this is beautiful. Not just life guiding. Yes, life guiding and life changing. And it meets me and you where we're at. I'm afraid I'm talking too long already. Here, suggestions for Bible reading. We talked about prayer yesterday, looking at some practical things. I put that little phrase there that has challenged me many times. I realize it's not balanced maybe, but it says, what you do with the Bible determines what God does with you. And so the answer is not saying, okay, I'm going to memorize, you know, many, many chapters. I'm going to read through the Bible, you know, six times this year. Whatever thing you're trying to do. You know what you're doing with the Bible? If that's the answer is just cram, that's what's going to affect you. You know what I'm saying? What you do with it is, what's that little statement? What you do with the Bible determines what God does with you. And just the idea that if I can just do lots and lots and read it lots and memorize it lots, just, and that'll make me spiritual, that creates a particular type of Christian too. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not down on somebody who wants to read this through the Bible six times in a year. And memorize, you know, 50 chapters in a year. I'm not against that at all. But that's not the answer. This needs to really change me. Read it. I have 3 points here at the beginning. Read it with a pure heart. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, he's the one that comes before God. And it rings in my mind, I think, every time I read that scripture there in Psalm 24. The young man at the beginning of a move of God, they were in a prayer meeting, and he stood up or knelt down or whatever he did, and he cried out and said, God, are my hands clean and is my heart pure? And when he took that in a personal way like that, it began to stir in other people's hearts in a personal way, and God began to work. We need to come with a pure heart and clean hands. Thank you, Brother Leonard, for last night. Do you have clean hands and a pure heart, young people? They can be made clean. Brother Leonard showed us the way last night. They can be made clean. That's amazing, is it not? Absolutely amazing. Come at it with a hungry heart, as newborn babes desire it. This is a command. Desire this sincere milk of the word that you grow. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. They'll be filled. The heart that panteth after the deer, that panteth after the water brooks that David had, the man after God's own heart, he was thirsty, he was hungry, and he was fed. Come to the Word of God with a hungry heart. Come with an expectant heart. You remember when the people of God were preparing to meet with God on Mount Sinai? I know you all remember that. Prepare yourselves, Moses said. You're going to meet God. And so they got themselves ready. They prepared themselves. They did what they were supposed to do. How do you think they would have felt that morning when they got up, knowing they're going to meet with God? They didn't know what was going to happen, all the practical things, but you're going to meet with God, and God's going to talk to you. And I've tried to picture it before, where I live on the side of a little bit of side of a mountain, and there's a little bit of a mountain behind me. I don't know how it would have compared with Mount Sinai, but I've just wondered if all the church, our little church up there, would gather and know next Thursday morning, God's going to come and speak to us. All right? Come clean, come right, and be at my place at 6 a.m. And if we all actually believed it, how many people would arrive at 6:01? I mean, maybe an accident would happen, but brothers, if God is going to come and meet with us, the back of our mountain back there behind our house, and we're all going to meet right there, and God's going to come, I wonder how people would have driven up the lane, what time they'd have gotten there, and if they'd have slept the night before. God's going to, and again, God is, just take the picture, okay? Just take the picture. That's what these people had. And they got up in the morning, and God's going to speak with them. What would it be like if you had that attitude tomorrow morning? You know what I'm saying? What if you had that attitude tomorrow morning? And you got up, and I remember when it was impressed upon me years ago, there's a particular time, and maybe some of you have heard this, a particular time that was impressed upon me, my teacher is waiting for me every morning. And that morning, I got up with an expectant heart. And this was exciting to me. And I got up. The alarm went off. Because of the expectant heart, I didn't even think about hitting the snooze. It's morning, and my teacher's waiting for me. And I got up, and I got dressed, and I was sleeping in a room with another young man. And so I grabbed my Bible, and I headed down the hallway. I was at another location. And I knew of a room way down. I had to walk through a few hallways and down a couple steps and flights of steps and through another couple hallways. And I walked up to this room, and I had my Bible, and I don't know if I had anything else. And I put my hand on a doorknob, and I realized, and I tried to take the concept, God is waiting on me. He's waiting. And he has things he wants to teach me. And I realized it's not just in our quiet time that God teaches, okay? It's in all of life. But just get the picture here. And so I walked, put my hand on that doorknob and opened the door. and walked in, closed the door behind me. And I had this with me, the Word of God with me. God wants to meet with me. And I got on my knees and I opened my Bible. Do you think I got a blessing that morning? I did. Again, just because the feelings are there, just that's not what I'm pushing. I hope that comes across with a little time here. But come to this word, with an expectant heart that it fits me. Not just everybody else, not just, but me and my life. And so I'm making this a very personal setting, okay? I realize the word gives us doctrine and guides us as a church, and guides our lives in a group setting too, but I'm just taking this on a personal sense this way, okay? It is a guide to me. I have here, I want us to realize there's a couple different paradigms you can come at the word. And I have just two paradigms listed here. On the left-hand side of my little booklet here, I have an intellectual paradigm, and on the right, an application paradigm. An intellectual paradigm looks at the Bible with reason and logic. We probe the text, its context, its setting, its author. We cross-reference, get others' thoughts. We can look at Bible dictionaries, all looking for truth and fact that will substantiate and build doctrines. Then upon these doctrines, we seek to find application to our lives, guiding us to live biblically. This is a godly and right way of studying the Bible. This is very common among all types of Christians. This can be done without being a deeply spiritual man. But it's still a godly thing, okay? This intellectual, and maybe there's a better term, but intellectual paradigm, you're taking this and you're using your head, your mind, and you're digging. What does this mean? What is this saying? And again, words, meanings, all these things, and we're trying to build a solid foundation on which to make decisions in life. We have a couple who came in among us. They come from a different setting, and so they're processing many things, and one of the things they've been processing is divorce and remarriage. And when you're looking at divorce and remarriage, and I'm thankful I don't have to study that to make personal application to me. Praise God, right? But it's a proper thing to study the Word and dig at the text and what is God saying and what is Jesus saying. And we cross-reference over here and they say this here. This lines up here. Let's find a consistent. Let's find something solid. That is a godly way. The intellectual paradigm is a godly way to look at the Word of God, right? There's what I'm calling the application paradigm. The application paradigm doesn't tear into the text to check it out as much as we take it at face value. We don't look necessarily for other references that say the same thing so that we can seek to find truth in the words that we have in front of us now, but rather we meditate on the words and phrases and spend time thinking about each one. We ask the Holy Spirit to teach us what He is trying to say through these words. It is a spiritual exercise that is a mixture of reading, meditation, prayer. This can be done. That word disappeared on my printing. Is it on your printing?
Emotion.
Thank you.
Emotion.
This can be done what?
In emotion.
In emotion. All right. In. Somehow it's the printing isn't real clear on mine. This can be done in emotion without results of a holy life. Did you get that? This can be done in emotion and not resulting in a holy life. So I tried to share the beauty, and then this can be negative with the intellectual, and the beauty, and it can be negative with the application paradigm, these two paradigms. But do you see these two different concepts of looking at the Word? The one's digging, trying to find solid truth, theological, doctrinal truth to stand on. The other one is saying, God, what's this mean to me? What are you saying in my situation? How does this help me today? I have to deal with A, B, C. A relationship in the home, a relationship at work, a relationship at church. I have to deal with a temptation, you know, in whatever setting I'm in. I have to deal with decisions in my life that will affect other people. All these things, you know, this application paradigm is saying, God, what do you have? How help me through life. Form me. Both of these are beautiful ways, paradigms at looking at the Scripture. So as we go through these, both can be used, both paradigms can be used for various things. So I'm going to just be real practical, give some suggestions here. Number one, I'm going to jump over some of them. There's seven here, And I think in Bible study, there's maybe another seven or so. So we're not going to get through them all. But I want to give you a little bit of a taste, and that's some of why this booklet is so that you can go back and look over them. You saw in the prayer suggestions, I jumped over a bunch too. I'm going to do that here today. Number one, read as a story. This is, again, the most common way to read the Bible. Simply put, read it and keep going. If you read it in your mother tongue, you instantly understand at least 99% of the words. Okay, 90, whatever. But when you read them, thus you can easily continue on to the next word. And we read it again like a story. I believe in doing that. Right now, I am actually going through the Bible this year, so I'm almost done. And with most of my reading this year, I've used various ways a little bit this year, but the steady part of my reading this year in the Word through my consistent time has been reading it as a story. You simply open it up and you begin to read. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. You know, and you read, and you just keep reading. You read a parable, you read, you know, you follow the line. You take a letter from the epistles, and you just keep reading. And that's a very common, beautiful way to read the Word. Read it as a story. Number two, read with highlighters and a pencil. Or a pen, you can use a pen. I usually use a pencil. I use a pen carefully because it bleeds and all that in my Bible. But read with highlighters. And I have kind of from years ago had this back concept in my mind of what different colors mean. So that when you see a particular color or a pencil or an underline or a circle or a blue or a green, to me that means something different. So I would encourage you to do that. And so I put just some of my basics here. It's a healthy way as you're going. What I have here, when there's a promise or a blessing, to me it's yellow. Something that stands out to me, it gets yellow. If green, I know I was studying here once upon a day. I was studying something. What? Because green means a little more of something's being studied. Blue, for me, and again, I'm just trying to stimulate your minds. Use ways that work for you. Blue, for me, means there's something in that area, chapter or couple chapters, that's connected, and I'm creating a theme here. So blue means, oh, something's happening here. Blue, blue, blue. If you look at 1 John, for example, in my Bible, you'll find blue on the words. What words do you think you'll find in 1 John that are blue for me? Love. Did I hear that right? Love. Life. Yes. Light. Yeah. There's blue there because to me, there's something John's trying to get across, and I want to see it for sure. And so I'll connect that with blue. Underline things that I'm wanting to emphasize or stick out to me or remember. Just the other day, one of you young men, I was looking for a verse and I knew the one in Isaiah I had underlined, but I couldn't remember where the one in Chronicle was, and I knew I needed to underline it, but hadn't underlined it yet. Anyway, that I'm emphasizing. It's a truth or something I want to use. Circle, margin writing. Anyway, do you see the concept? When we read with highlighters and pencils, it can be a helpful thing. And if you don't want to do it in your Bible, you can do it other ways. You can, well, that'll come into other things. I have found that a blessing because I'm not a heavy one, a heavy highlighter and writer. To me, it can get too distracting. I'm a hesitant one. I'll think about it first before I put things in there. You can do it however you want, but I think that's a healthy way. Number three, read with a schedule. As I mentioned to you, I am reading this year with a schedule. The schedule I have, I wanted to read the Bible chronologically this time. I've actually never done that, to where you actually don't just read it, Genesis to Revelation, but you read it with someone else having put work into it and tried to slot things in their time. So, for example, the prophets in the Old Testament are stuck with the kings, and you read a little bit in the kings, and then they grab a prophet that would have been in that time, and you read about that prophet. And then you go on in Kings, and there's another prophet. You know, and so then you're reading through the Gospels, and so you have a little bit in Matthew, a little bit in Mark, a little bit in Luke, a little bit in John. And then a little bit in Matthew, a little bit in Mark, a little bit in Luke. Oops, John didn't have that same account. And then a little bit, do you see what I'm saying? And so it puts it chronologically. I have enjoyed that this year, pulling it together in a little more of a chronological order. Oh, and then you're going through Acts, and all of a sudden, boom, they're pulling in Corinthians. Oh, this is when this person was thinking Corinthians. Okay, in this context, this is what was happening in the book of Acts. And here's a Corinthian letter. And it just brings a little more chronology to what's happening. I've enjoyed that this year. That is another healthy way to read the Bible, whether you read it through in a year, and there are many schedules. I think I put my email address on there. If you want some suggestions, I have lots of various schedules that are helpful. Read the Bible with a schedule. Number three, reading it repetitively. Number four, reading it repetitively. So I think there's a blessing in this. If you're going to do this, take a book of the Bible, and I'd encourage you to start with a small one, whether it's one of the epistles or, you know, Ezra or some small book, and read it over and over and over for a while. So what do I have here? How do I lay it out? Choose a book or a few chapters and read it once or twice daily for a month. This is just a suggestion. First week, just read it. You can circle and underline what stands out to you. Second week, you're reading it every day. Second week, you divide the thoughts. And again, this is just some of how I have done things. I divide the thoughts with a line in my Bible. Some of your Bibles have a little paragraph marker. You can use those, or you can, those aren't God-ordained paragraph markers, okay? Those are men. And so you can work at it too and decide where you think there are paragraphs and stick a little line in your margin. Third week, you're still reading every day. Third week, you're reading over this. It's becoming more familiar to you. You're starting to get a feel for the flow in a way you never have if you're reading this every day and you're starting to mark things. Third week, meditate on each topic as you have it divided and write out a heading for each of that paragraph, that topic. Just, you've gone over it many times now. Then stick a little heading on that. Let's just say you're reading through Ephesians, and so you start putting a line there on the, what did I have, third week. Maybe second week you're putting a line, and third week you're putting a little title for that heading. You don't have to get every one in one day, but you're reading it. Yeah, that's kind of about this topic. Jot it down. If you don't want to scribble so much in your Bible, print it out. You can get a print out of it, so you can have a piece of paper and scribble and write. I do that sometimes if I'm preparing a message, and I want to scribble my thoughts and circle and underline, but I don't want my Bible that much of a mess. And so, you know, I'll do it on a piece of paper. Fourth week, you've divided this out. You have some context, meditating on the topics. Fourth week, you can ask yourself questions. All right, well, what's this mean to me? How should this change my life? I've read over this many times now. Technically, if you do it for a month, 30 times, and you're getting to the end of that. What's God saying? How's this apply to me? Is there some way I could bless someone else with this thought or principle also? And you're trying to bring these principles down to everyday life. And of course, we always do that. But do you see how you can use repetitive reading to saturate yourself with one particular place in the Bible? That's a very beautiful, healthy way to read through the Word. Number five, read meditatively. Again, obviously, you can't do all these at once. Do one for a while and stick to it. Do another one for a while and read meditatively. I'm going to, you chew on that one, spend time on it, and you go slow over it. I touched on prayer time using the Word in prayer. It kind of meshes with this one. Sometimes you might get through two verses, and sometimes you might get through a chapter, but if you read it slowly and really chew on it, what is God saying in this sentence, and what's He saying? I think there's a lot of I find tremendous blessing and health in using it that way. Number six, read it topically. Do you see? I'm just trying to give you suggestions. That's what the title is. Get it? Suggestions. Number six, read topically. Choose a topic that's on your heart. So one thing I did years ago that influenced me was to go through the whole Bible looking at a couple different topics. And even if you're just going to take just the New Testament, here's one I would suggest. Go through the New Testament looking at humility. Young people, there's something about brokenness and humility that is beautiful in the New Testament, this new covenant. Something very, very beautiful. I've learned a little bit, but I know I have a long way to go. And when I see that in some of you, or the lack of it. You know what I'm saying? It's beautiful. So that's a suggestion. You take humility and you read through the New Testament, have a booklet beside you, and write down every reference. Again, you have to decide how deep you want to go with these things, but here's a really good way. On the left-hand side, write the reference, and then to the right of that, and the rest of that line, write, what's the saying? You know, write a sentence that says what this verse and how it relates to your topic, if it's humility, and then you write something to there. And then you keep reading. I think that relates. You're not looking for the word humility. You're looking for the concept of humility. You'll find meekness. You'll find brokenness. Not just words. You'll find stories. You'll find illustrations. You'll find what Jesus did, what Jesus said. The word humility is nowhere in there, and it's saturated with humility. And you look through there, and you take a while to go through the New Testament, and every morning you're looking at humility, and you're saying, okay, God, where am I at? Where am I at in my life? How do we work this inside of me? You do that, and you take a few months, it affects you. You know what I'm saying? It forms you. Do you know what you're doing? You're taking this, and you're saying, God, mold me, make me, form me. And read topically. Number 7, read journaling. Now, I'm going to guess there's a lot more young ladies possibly that do this than young men. But I've found it a blessing. I've never done it for a long period of time. So that's a confession here. But I have done this some. Journal your thoughts helps clarify and cement the principles you're learning in your mind and heart. So, okay, you're going to read a chapter. And this can be done various ways, but I don't even remember for sure what exactly my notes are. So I'm going to throw a few ideas out here. You read a chapter and then go over to your booklet and say, all right, what did it say? How should this affect me? And write something. And if you can't think of anything to write, you probably better read it again. Right? It forces you to make sure, did I get something out of this? What's it saying in here? And then just write a few thoughts. Read on and write a few more thoughts. And I find for myself, I have to decide if I'm just going to write a short amount and read more, or if I'm going to read less and write more. So, you know, you have to find your way through those things. But another way is to read with a notebook beside you, and I'm calling it reading journaling. I find it a blessing, I don't know where you all have, but to read, sometimes read out loud. If you're in a setting where you can't, I understand that. Maybe there's other people in the room, but it can be healthy sometimes to actually open the Word and begin to read it, and to read it out loud. Not hurriedly, but read it and allow the out loudness of the Word to process inside of you, in your mind, in your heart. All over. We're going to keep roaring here. Suggestions for Bible study. So, did I go too fast? You got the concepts, right? Many different ways. This is not exhaustive on Bible reading. But I just want you to know, I think it's healthy for you to be consistent and to, I have it somewhere, nicely said, and I don't remember how I said it, but be consistent and bring change. Do both. If you bring change every other day, that's not consistent. But if you're consistent for 3 years and there's no change, sorry, I went extreme, but no, it's healthy. We're humans. Bring a little change in there and try another way of reading for a while. So use both of those concepts and love His Word. You got it? Spend time in it. Use many and varied ways of saturating yourself in the Word of God. Suggestions for Bible study. I'm just going to jump right in here, jump down practical helps for Bible study. Number 1, just begin. No matter where or how incompetent you feel. I remember as a young man, I went to my father, and I had a little hunger in here as a young teenager, but I just felt a little bit at a loss. And so if you feel at a loss, I'm hoping to give you a few suggestions. If you're still at a loss when I'm done, go to somebody face to face that you respect. And I felt a little bit at a loss, and I went to him. I said, what should I study? Well, at that time in our life, we had a family that had just, they were coming to the church, and he was, why is the word slipping my mind? Patriotic. There we go. He was patriotic. They just started coming, and so I guess I don't remember how long they'd been coming, but he was patriotic. So my father says, "Mick, why don't you study non-resistance?" And I don't remember how many tips he gave me, but as a young man, I was trying to find my way, and I ran across my study, and I put it in quotes because it was very, very simple. It was simply a few verses I wrote out in a row that I had found, and I had written the verses out that fit that topic. But at the beginning, I was searching for a way, how do I study this book? And so I began. Just begin. Start. And I'm going to give you a few ideas. And my first little study was very simple. I think I have it tucked away in memories. I have a folder one of the folders is memories, and I have it tucked away there because it's a good little lesson. Just begin. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with a first step, the Chinese say. I find when it comes to Bible study, I have to use some persistence. One man said, who I regard as a prayer warrior, and he was asked a few questions one time, and his opinion was, he said, for me, just personal for him, my prayer is 60% perspiration and 40% inspiration. And again, I would regard him as someone who prayed, he was an older man, much more than me, times 100. I honestly don't know. That's God knows. But a deep man who knew how to pray. And I've always pondered that. 60% perspiration and 40% inspiration. And I don't know what some of you brothers would have to say, but there's some truth in that. There is inspiration that comes when you spend time with God, but I find the need to be persistent and just push through and keep going. You're not unspiritual when you need to push through and keep going. I wonder if God would make it so that it was 60% all just inspiration and you always just felt motivated. I'm not sure. Anyway, I find it's the other way around. I'll leave it at that. Press in. I find sometimes you go at it and then I need to give myself a rest and go for a walk or go work or go whatever and then come at it again. I have attack, rest, attack. But anyway, excuse me. Find a balance somewhere between using other men's input and sticking with the word. There's a balance there. If you're always running to a commentary, I think it gets unhealthy. What's this mean? You're trying to figure this out, so you go to other men's words. So I'm not pushing commentaries hard. I refer to them occasionally. But neither am I saying, well, just me and my Bible. A brother one time sitting, I think it was in a brother's meeting years ago. It for those of you from up at Danby, it wasn't there. Years ago. And he made this comment. How'd he say it? I've always remembered the concept, don't remember the exact words, but I haven't wanted to be tainted with man's influence, so I haven't read anything on this topic and only the Word of God. To me, that starts to become a little individualistic. God meant us to need each other, and we need input from others, and it's healthy. And yet, let's guard it that we don't just quick go running to a book, quick go running to a commentary to figure this out. Do you see that balance there? We need to look at this. This is God's Word, but we need to be open to others' thoughts, input. That's the way God made us, to be relationally learning to walk with Him. So I put here, do use resources. I find resources, and I'm going to throw one out. I know some of you use this. I really appreciate this treasury of Scripture knowledge. I have 1, 2, 3, like the fourth bullet point down there on the bottom of the page. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of that one. The reason I like it is because it's basically like the center column reference, or you know, Thompson Chain, I guess, has it on the right. Many different references for every single phrase in the Bible. It'll give you between 3 and 10 references. And so to me, it's almost like a commentary of the Bible by the Bible. You know what I'm saying? So how many of you know what I'm talking about? Treasury of Scripture knowledge. Okay, lots of you do. That's fine. I find that one a blessing. I refer to that frequently. You're reading through a scripture, this phrase, you can open up the treasury of Scripture knowledge, and there's 4, 5, 6, 10, 2 to 10. Sometimes they miss the point you thought it was saying, and they go on another point, and so, oops, you didn't get what you were looking for. But maybe that's good too. Anyway, it's kind of like an expanded version of a center column reference for every phrase in the word. But have at least I think it's helpful to have a few of those things at your fingertips. So, next page, different ways to study the Bible. Number one, I find one of the easiest ways, as I have encouraged people beginning to study the Bible, is to use forms. Use a form for guidance. And if you will just take your booklet and turn back a couple pages, probably you've already seen some of these. So if you go back right after Bible study, there's a few forms. And if you turn, you see the one that says topical. You've got this, I'm going to skip over this one for a minute. The one that says topical study form. See that there? This is a very, very simple study form, but it can very easily be used. And since I threw out humility, I'm going to use it again. In the top, under topic, you simply write humility. And again, I have these forms in a full paper size. If you want them, I'm happy to email them to you. But you can use this or make your own or, you know, whatever. Top, you would write humility. Just to, again, seems like one of the most simplest ways to begin Bible study. Right here, compile a list of words. Help me here. What are a list of words that might go into the topic humility? Just name them out here. Meekness. Brokenness. Poor in spirit. Compassionate. Okay, that's going to be in there. I heard another one.
Contrite.
So you're going to put these words up here. And so now we already have a list of what, 6 or 7 words. Come down here, collect Bible references. How are you going to do that? How are you going to come up with some Bible references? First thing, what comes off the top of your mind in a group? I'm sure we can come up with some, right? Give me a few references or phrases, at least.
James 5.
Which one are you talking about in James 5?
The third one. I can't think of it.
Okay, but James does talk about the poor man and the rich man, that concept. Submit yourself to God, humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. Good. So you could just jot that down. For me, many times things come to my mind and I just got to jot them all down for a little. Some more.
1 Peter.
Okay, 1 Peter 1 first. What was that?
1 Peter 5:9.
1 Peter 5:9. What is it?
I think that would be humble yourselves.
Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you and do. Okay, good. 1 Peter, another one?
Matthew 5.
Blessed are the meek, poor in spirit. Matthew 5 saturated with it. Good. Someone else.
John 12.
Except the corn of wheat fall on the ground. Okay, so you're going to start, but you also have words up here. You can grab a concordance to look up all these 6 words that we just came up with, and you can start listing verses, right? So what's that say? Collect Bible references. Flip the page over. So here then we have a comparison chart, it calls us. If you see, it's being numbered 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6, looks like there's 6 points under this study outline. So then number 3, consider each reference individually and compare and group the references. So first you write reference, all right? So we had 1 Peter, we had Matthew, so we're going to write these references here. Then cross-references. You can use your center column in your Bible. You can use a TSK, a Treasury of Scripture Knowledge. You can use a Thompson chain if you have that. And you'll find cross-references and put those in there. Excuse me, and look them up. Sorry. Cross-references, over there, observations and insights. Write down, what's this verse saying? What's it mean? When you get soaking yourselves in dozens of verses, they start swimming after a while, if you're me. Maybe you can keep them all straight, but for me, they start swimming. And so I need to write down so that when I look back over this, I'll see 1 Peter and I'll try to remember, was that this one or this one? And I'll see Matthew 5. Well, what in Matthew 5? And over there in observations and insights, write a little something. What's this saying? What's it actually, you know, some sort of connection with it. And you can fill out this paper, and you can fill out many papers. Obviously, grabbing a topic like humility, that one's nigh endless. Then as you've spent time in this, you have all these verses and concepts and illustrations all floating around in your mind, and people, you'll find people. It's a good way, I don't know that that's in here, other studies have that. People that were an example. Put a little bit of an outline. Okay, what aspects of humility am I seeing? Is there anything different between meekness and humility? What's contrite? Is there different aspects here? What are principles Jesus taught in it that you can kind of condense and create? Oh, you know what? I'm seeing 3 different aspects. And so you try to write it out, scriptures below it. And, you know, you're processing this. Move on over. Conclusion, summary and application. You know, some of your thoughts, final thoughts, are going to have to do with application. All right, how do we apply this? What's this mean in everyday life? And you write some of your conclusion. Do you see that simple outline? We go through that slow enough that you get the idea. That's a very simple one. Keep going. Another form, biographical study form. Again, forms is a very simple, good way to begin. At the top, name. Give me a biblical character that would be interesting to study. Anyone? I heard two. Daniel? Oh, you said two. All right. It will get humility in Daniel these next couple months. We'll see how many people that stimulates. I love Daniel. Did we hear about it last night? Was that you, Brother Leonard? Someone in one of their messages mentioned him too. And to me, he just, godliness, holiness just exudes out of him. Okay, Daniel. Scripture references. Well, obviously, we've got Daniel, right? Where else? Anyone else come to mind about Daniel? Other scripture references? Ezekiel. Thank you. At least somebody remembered something, right? Esther. Is Daniel referred there? It gives the same, some similar time frame. I missed it. So, maybe so. Good. Someone else? Revelation. Hebrews. Okay, you'll find things about Daniel. So, you're putting scripture references. First impressions and observations. Write them down. You've read a few scriptures. You've looked at it. What are your first impressions? What do you think about Daniel? What are some of your observations? The next step, outline his or her life. Okay, what do you know about his life? How old was he when he left captivity? I guess, first off, he would have been born not in captivity. Went out of captivity. Start to make a little bit of a timeline. What do you know about him? An outline of his life. General insights. I'm just turning the page. Number 5. So you're still thinking about Daniel. General insights. Answers to questions. Maybe you'll be asking yourself questions. I've got to move on. Character qualities. Number 6. Bible truths illustrated in his or her life. Number 8. Summary. You got the idea, right? 9, 10, 11. 11 points on that one. Do you see how a form can give you a few tracks to run on to study God's Word? Make sense? Look doable? Okay, that's a very nice, simple way. I gave you two, actually three. We skipped over one form there. We'll see if we have time to get to that. Forms are a simple way, especially as you're if you're beginning. Even when you're not beginning, help guide your thoughts. Give you some tracks to run on. So there's a couple forms. Again, there are many more out there that people have created. I have numerous ones. I think I stuck my email in there. I'm happy to email some to you if you would like. Forms, number 2. I'm back here to Bible study. Different ways to study the Bible at the top. Forms for guidance. Number 2, book and chapter study. Choose a chapter of book. Take a small bite if you're just starting and see steps in Bible study below. I'm going to go ahead and go on through these points. General steps for Bible study. We'll see if we can go over just briefly. Number 3, verse study. Simply choose a verse. It's another way to study the Bible. Choose a verse or two and follow these steps. We'll go over here in a minute. And you can do it focusing on a larger section, or you can do it focusing on a smaller section. And especially if you're starting, stick with smaller. And some of us have been doing it a while, still need to stick with smaller. Number 4, word or topical study. And we'll get to the page on the right here. Word or topical study. Choose a word. Joy, for example, I have here. Look it up in Strong's. What does the definition give? Again, that's just another man's definition, but it is another definition. What's this word joy mean? A word study. Look at places it's used in the Bible. Strong's does all this for you. You can look up the meaning. You can look up the different places. Choose out some of the verses. Dig in to see what each verse has to teach about the subject. Biographical, we went over that a little bit. Inductive, this is racing. Am I doing justice here? I'm going to jump over inductive. I'm going to try to close with that, okay? General steps for Bible study. So in doing this, whether it's a chapter, whether it's a verse, whether it's a topic, or whether it's biographical, I have some general steps. These steps are principles, but just process them. Number 1 there, look at the context, the theme surrounding these chapters. What do you know about the writer, his heart and setting? Who's the audience and their setting? So you're looking at the big picture. We're going to grab a verse, and it's going to be John 7. I don't care. But you know, you grab a verse out. What's the setting? Where is Jesus? Who are the people he's talking to? What's going on around this? number two, repetition. Read it numerous times. If you're reading a few verses, reading it numerous times, marking and making notes of your thoughts. Read over and over and over and over. Number three, brainstorm. Sit back and say, all right, what are key words or key thoughts? I'm just giving you a step by step. If you want to take a passage and study it, some actual steps to go through here. What are key words, thoughts? Write down principles, cross-references, applications, illustrations. And if you're anything like me, write it down. You won't remember it all. Many of you, I'm sure, have more capabilities than I do, but you're still not going to write it down. Okay? Get out a pad. You're brainstorming. What are various things? Number four, study. Now look up words in Strong's. Brother Levi mentioned Thayer's. Look up words, definitions. I lost my place here. Ones you don't know and think might have a deeper meaning, and write them down. Use TSK, Treasury of Scripture Knowledge, that one that I mentioned that has lots of references. Reference different places, Neve's Topical Bible, Thompson's Chain Reference, and you get cross-referencing in that study, and you get different verses that pull different aspects out. Organize, number five, begin to separate the verses into paragraphs. How are we going to divide this out? What are the themes here? What are headings I can put? Try to put a heading to each paragraph or each theme created that states what you're coming up with. And then look for application. Take each now divided paragraph or point or theme and write answers to some questions. What's it say? What's it mean? What's it mean to me? What's its application? I'm going to try. Do we have a marker up here? I'm going to try to do something with you to bring this principle out just a little bit in a form of Bible study. And it's with these three things you'll see over here on the last page: group Bible study suggestions, observation, interpretation, and application. Is the same thing basically as what's it say, what's it mean, and how does it apply to me? And so you have three columns. And I'm going to do, that's right, you can't even read this, can you, if I make it that small. Okay, I'm going to leave small. It says say, what does this scripture say? And this is observation. And you have three columns. It's a very simple thing you can do by yourself, usually called an inductive Bible study. This is another whole way called inductive that I just jumped over earlier. Observation. What's the next one? Interpretation. Okay. Interpretation. This is say, and this here, the interpretation is mean. And then the application is how does this apply to me? Okay. And so you have three columns. Someone quote one simple verse to me that's fairly simple to all of us. Okay, again? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Thank you. We all know that one. Excellent one for us to process. What does that verse say? What's it say? Trust. That's one thing it says. You can't be wrong with your suggestions, okay? That's one of the things that this verse says. It says trust. Lean not. Wait a minute. Lean and lean not, right? Isn't that what trust is? It's leaning. So we have trust and lean not. Well, that's interesting that we have one says to do something and then it says right after it not to do something. Do and don't do. We're going to have to note that down. What else does this verse say? Acknowledge. Like over here? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Good. Trust with all. Can I put that in capital? Acknowledge him. What else does it say? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. What else does it say? He will direct. He will direct. I think, and what's fun is, in a group setting, and this is too big because we're all scared to say things, but in a group setting, it is amazing. You can make this list really, really long. We hit the obvious. But if you'd keep going, it's amazing, again, in a group setting, how many different things you'd come up with over here. Trust in the Lord and all, that's two different concepts, I mean, that obviously flow together. So what does it mean to trust God? What's it mean? Help me a little bit. And again, you can't be wrong, okay? This is discussion here.
Rely.
Okay. It means to rely. What does rely mean? That's a good synonym. But what's that actually mean? Okay, we got two going. Start over here, the lady side. I'm sorry, lay not. Lean on. Lean, yes. Trust, rely. Okay, we got another synonym. Lean on, yeah. So, do you think this will fall over if I lean on it? You think it'll hold me, right? So I can trust. Can I trust in this thing? How far can we go here? Right? Anybody worried that I'm going to fall and hurt myself? Okay, so with God, we're supposed to lean on Him. Believe in His stability. There's something about something solid, something stable in Him. You believe that? You're all going to nod your head yes. What about over here? Do you believe that? What's that mean to you in your life? I want you to sit there and think about it a little bit. What's that mean to you? Is anybody willing to be vulnerable enough to actually say?
Pray.
Pray. So Brother Leonard feels like one of the things in his life that this means is prayer.
Submit.
Submit. To who?
God.
God. Oh, that's a good, safe one. Got a more scary one? Maybe that's what it means to you. Maybe you're struggling with saying, God, I don't really want to do what you want me to do. Or is it possible there's another one of these human beings that aren't quite as stable as God in there?
Authority.
I didn't see, yeah. Authority, that's not another nice general one. Ooh.
Parents,
ouch, that gets a little more personal. In what? Do you see what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to bring it down to you. And I'm not saying that, and so what I could do to Brother Leonard, and I didn't do it to him, maybe I should have, pray, what do you mean, brother? You know, okay, so you're going to pray more, or is there something in your mind that, you know what? I don't know, do you have something in your mind? Okay, so he has a particular situation in his mind, and it's not right for him to say it, I'm sure. Okay, so there's a situation. If it's actually you all by yourself, you won't write situation. You'll put a name there or a situation's name, whether it's a business question, a person you're dealing with, or a whatever. You know what? And you'll put that name there. All right, I'm supposed to trust God with all, and that means I'm going to be leaning on Him, and the application for Brother Leonard is, there's a situation I need to spend time on. And do you think what that means to him is he's going to put it on his prayer list and every day he's going to say two sentences, Lord, bless this situation and help it, you know, and then move on. Do you think that's what's going to happen? He's going to spend a little time on it like we talked about yesterday, right? He's going to think. He's going to pray. He's going to look at the Word. He's going to meditate. He might talk to other brothers. But he's going to say, okay, God, do you see how this gets real practical? Okay, I'm going to jump back to this was it submission one? No, I forget. What's it actually mean? Anybody willing to be honest with whoever went down the submission line? If I'm going to trust in the Lord, ultimately, that's actually, and rely on Him, it's going to mean a submission issue in all. Oh, still general. We just love to be general because it's true. He's right. None of us question He's right, do we? But we're trying to get to this, or this application. And do you see what I'm pushing for? And I realize I'm pushing in a big group here. So I don't expect you to get extremely personal. But do you see where I'm pushing for? And we're all a little hesitant. In my situation, there's some issues I need Brother Leonard's relying on. If I'm going to trust the Lord, you know what that means? I'm going to be taking to God in my office, on my knees, or wherever I am. 4 minutes. Okay. Do you get it? Here's a little bit of a chart that's a little more detailed than that, but this is a real simple way. Observation, interpretation, application. I have a little more of a detailed chart I have people go through sometimes, but it's based on this inductive concept. Just breaks it down a little more. As a group, there's another one that's very fun to do. I'm debating doing it with you tomorrow. It's in here. That works very well to stimulate young people. This is beautiful. It'll change you. And the way you deal with it determines the way your life turns out and how God deals with you, like that little phrase in the beginning. You see it? Can you be excited about it? Do you have tools in your hands that you can go do? Do you? It's beautiful. Dig into it. 3 minutes. I'm going to pray. Lord, bless these dear young people. Thank you for your word. And I just pray, I threw so many ideas at them so fast, I hope they got a little bit. Would you bless them and help them to at least grab a couple of them and dig into your word with enthusiasm, believing you will work and change them. Please, Father, for your glory, that laborers may be raised up to live here on planet Earth, glorifying and exalting you through their lives. Please, Lord.